Welcome to All About Romance. This is your live intro today. This is your host, Tricia Harley McCarthy. And this is a platform for authors, poets, and writers who love romance, and just like me. And I have a few announcements, actually. I'm going to be part of an anthology that's coming up on December 2nd with Melanie James, a best-selling author, and several other authors. M.L. Broom is a friend of mine who's been on the show, and that's coming out on Amazon on December 4th, called Under the Mistletoe, so check that out. And also, I'm also coming out with another collection with M.L. Broom scheduled to come out in January. So we're going to be taking pre-orders, and it's a collection of both our series. And I have On Ice, my hockey romance, will be coming out sometime in December, so stay tuned for all that. Now, today's guest is R.E. Haas. Did I say that right?
He sure did.
Okay. And he wrote a book called Death, Sex, and the Girl Next Door, which is intriguing to me because I'm writing something similar, hopefully. It's a thriller. And he's also a poet. So, and I also do poetry. So that's how we connected, was through poetry. But I was thrilled when I found out he wrote a book. And I want to introduce you to him. So hello, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tricia. And may I say congratulations to you on the upcoming anthologies, being part of those. That's super. And also, thank you for
being
such a huge supporter of the writing community in general. It's awesome.
Thank you. I totally enjoy that. And I don't know when you were writing your book, if you had much like mentoring or people who could help you, or if you even knew the where and whys of how to write a book. I mean, it's all a learning curve. It was for me. How was it for you?
It's a huge learning curve, and I didn't really have anybody who I leaned on to give me any advice or anything. I'm a trial and error guy. So the first book I wrote, a romantic comedy, it was called In a Relationship, was kind of loosely based on my own personal life and then becoming single and online dating. But it took me 3 or 4 years to write that first book. And then it was just trial and error on, you know, formatting and editing and uploading, and things are easier now. But yeah, there's a lot of help online. You know, there's lots of great forums and stuff. But yeah, it's a bit of work.
Right. Yeah, and it's good once you've learned those things. But what I find too is that when I go back to Amazon or wherever I upload, it's always something little new, a new service or a new way to upload, or they have a new whatever, you know, software to help you with your cover, whatever. And so it's always a learning curve, at least for me. I'm always learning something new. I try to, because this is a moving market, honestly, and you want to stay ahead of, you want to try to be as current as possible. I don't know about you, but how long did it take you to write this book?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was telling someone the other day, they asked me about that process, and I had I've gone through a couple of career changes in the last 3 or 4 years, and I was in between, and I had some time in my previous employment where I was doing a lot of road trips and traveling. So I wrote this book in my mind probably a half a dozen times on 4 and 5 hour drives. And so I had worked through it, and you know, I'd, you know, taken some notes here and there, but I had some time on Vancouver Island last year, and probably took me 3-4 months to actually write the book. And then I sat on it for a bit and took a little while to edit it, and then just, you know, moved back into the interior. And you have to, us struggling authors, we have our day jobs that we got to balance our time between writing and actually earning a living. So the writing part, I think sometimes is
that's
almost
annoying.
The easiest part. Yeah.
Yeah, that gets annoying when real life gets in your way as a writer. Oh, yeah. That's you had it in your mind, so how did you bring it all together? How do you do that without having copious notes? Because I have great, brilliant ideas, and then I lose them because I think I'll write it down, and I never do.
Well, what I did was because I'd written it in my head so many times, so I sat down before I actually started writing it, and I did an outline, I think like a lot of writers will do. I fleshed out all my characters. I would, write out sort of, their likes and dislikes and sort of their habits and quirks about their personalities, and then roughly put together a timeline. Because this movie, I do write visually. And I'd like all my books to be a movie, as I'm sure a lot of writers do too. So I wrote this in scenes. So I'd write this scene, and I would write this next scene, and then I would just string them all together. The first book I wrote, I actually wrote the ending, the beginning and the ending first, and then I wrote the middle. But in this book, I outlined it all, and I just wrote it through like I was telling the story to somebody sitting across the table from me.
Wow. That's a great approach. That's really creative. And what's your actual writing ritual when you're writing? Are you outdoors? Are you inside? What do you do?
It's a good question. When I first started, I thought I'm going to have to be, one of those writers who's, got the lights turned down. I got my gin and tonic, and I'm tied to my laptop, and I'm just so absorbed into it, and wait for inspiration to move me to write something. But literally it was, get up, shower, get dressed, sit at the desk, turn on the computer, and just start writing. And then whenever I did that, usually, like 4 or 5 hours later, you can barely move and your back is sore, and but you get attached to your characters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They have a life of their own. I mean, I know you could plot something out for a chapter, because that's what I do. I plot chapters out per chapter, and we'll have an idea, and then I'll write it, and then something just changes, and, you're writing your characters and what they want as opposed to necessarily what you want, which is funny. And then you have all these great plot twists and new characters, and who knows? It's a great adventure, actually.
You read through your first draft, and you go back and go, oh, hang on a sec. They didn't have a 1997 Honda in the first chapter, and then in the 13th chapter, they're driving a Toyota Corolla. Yeah, lots of things like that.
Yeah, and or I've had the issue where I published one of my books, and I was going through it, and the character had two different eye colors, so I had to go back and fix that because I missed it. So it just, I've gotten to the point where I can't be perfect with these books and editing, and you're not going to catch everything. That's just part of being a writer,
no.
I think. It's just part of the job. I mean, I don't know about you, but I kind of accepted that a long time ago. Yeah.
Otherwise,
I drive myself nuts.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how many times you read it or you get other people to read it, you're still going to find a misspelt word or an extra apostrophe or something here and there. I just had a friend of mine actually who ordered it, and then he read it and sent me a list of a few errors that he had picked up. And it's super nice of him to do it, because I kind of kept this book really close to my vest. I didn't let a lot of people read this because it is, it's more of a thriller mystery than it is a love story. There's certainly a love story component to it. Unrequited love theme throughout the entire book, but it's got a lot of twists and turns and an ending you don't see coming. So I didn't want to give that away. And he read it in 2 days, and they said, he pointed out like 8 or 9 things, and I went back and I checked them. So I've now uploaded that new edit, so it's now available. But he said, he reads like 100 books. He's like 100 books a year, and he's always finding spelling mistakes in books.
I do that for author friends of mine. If I come across something, I'll take a screenshot of it and send it to them. So I think they appreciate that. I really do. I appreciate it when someone has done that for me. So it's nice when people are looking out for you, and that's the beauty of self-publishing. You can actually just upload a new one, and fix them and move on. It's a great feature for self-publishing.
It's funny is that, when I was younger and in school, was probably the worst speller, I think, in my class. And I remember when I got my first job in a position where I had to, you know, send out a lot of emails and company correspondence. And I had a boss at the time. He says, listen, Ross, we have a really good administrator. So I want her to look at everything that you write. And before it goes out, she checks it. So that sounds good to me.
Ouch. Well, that's good. Yeah, I think my typing skills improved when I was a loan administrator, so I would type documents all the time, and my writing skills became very good. I don't know if the typos, you know, were any good, but at one job I had no errors, so I was pretty high in that review when I got that one. So I guess, you know, you learn skills along the way, because I don't know about you. Do you write point of view do you write from, and do you write past tense, present tense? What's your writing style?
It just depends. I've thought about even purposely trying different approaches, you know, first person, third person. I tend to write in third person, but I sometimes like to reveal what's in my character's head. Try not to confuse the reader, of course, but I try to write it as if I'm observing a scene. But I love to be able to shed a little bit of light about what's inside some of the characters' minds when they're having their own thoughts.
Right, right. And I was doing that too. I was writing. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I've never really considered myself, and even today I don't consider myself a writer, because I am such a poor speller. I've said to people, I'm a storyteller. I love to tell stories, and so that's what I do. So if you're ever reading one of my books and, you know, it's not grammatically correct, it doesn't bother me if someone points that out. I don't take any claim to be a writer. I'm a storyteller.
Oh, so do the disclaimer up front. I see. Okay.
Right on. Yeah, I'm going to put that right on my business
card. I love that. That's good. Yeah, I was going to say that I'm having a book edited right now, and I asked the editor, I go, hey, is it common for a writer, an author, to have past tense and present tense? Because I write first point of view, present tense, and she goes, oh yeah, that's a very common error, you know, how to present that when you're writing. You know, I'm such a perfectionist when it comes to my writing, though, as to that particular style, that, you know, I go through and I say, oh, that's past tense, should be present tense. You know, it's an ongoing battle, because you have a tendency to go past tense, at least I do. So it's a struggle. That's one of my struggles.
And of course, you know, us writers, storytellers, you know, we have thin skin to begin with, and it takes a lot to be able to put down thoughts, you know, whether it's poetry or whether it's a story, and then share it with not only your friends or family, but with complete strangers, and not worry about people judging or critiquing. My only goal is, I could care less if someone sends me mistakes in spelling and grammar, and then I'll correct them if I feel like they need to be. Obviously, spelling mistakes should be corrected. I'm not as worried about grammar, because I try to write conversationally, but my goal is really, at the end of the story, is have someone just go, that was a good story.
Yeah,
not,
absolutely.
You know, not go, oh yeah, well, they had some poor grammar in there, and there's a few spelling mistakes. Yeah, okay, I can take that. Did you like the story? Did the story resonate with you? Did it, you know, after you finished the book, did you go, I got to talk to somebody about this story? So,
and then once you get the one reviewer who does look at things like that, it's an experience to read a review where it's poorly, they find the book not so good. And so I'm kind of the mindset that, because I do a lot of reviews for a lot of other authors, and I'm of the mindset, if this book doesn't resonate with me, then I'm not going to leave a review. I'm not going to ding the author because there was grammatical error or I didn't care for the content. You know, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
It's tough enough to get a review. And I don't. Do you have reviews
right
yet up on your book?
I don't.
Yeah.
you know, my first book, I have a couple of reviews up, and I know that's coming. I haven't, you know, here's the thing, Tricia, and I'm going to be honest with you. I love writing. I love telling stories. I don't mind even, like, I design my own covers. I've gotten better as I've gotten to my third book now. I do everything myself. And then there's the whole marketing thing, right, where you really need to, you need to market your book if you want to sell it. You can't just depend on someone picking it up and all of a sudden, you know, Oprah's got it on her book club. It's not going to happen to all of us. So, unfortunately, I do love getting the feedback. I'm pretty thick-skinned in the sense that if someone was, it was riddled with spelling mistakes or grammatically it's terrible, I'm like, yeah, whatever, then don't read it. I don't care. You know, I'm not writing this to please everybody. I would love to see, really, when I write a story, I write it visually. I want to see it as a movie. So it's just the way I write.
I'm very visual, too, as a writer. And people have told me repeatedly, and you might have heard this yourself, is that they feel like they could see everything in the scene or the chapter. And it's like I was there. And I thought, that's cool. That's the nicest compliment because you're really – at that point, you're connecting, and the other thing I get is they're mad because the character is a bad character, and they get mad at this character, which is funny because, you know, they're evil, and those are my favorite characters to write, actually. They're fun. So I love when you resonate with a reader because that's just like you've done your job when you resonate with a reader like that. It's so cool. And
go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's way more fun to write, you know, bad characters because you can do anything, right? You don't have to stick to any sort of moral script or anything. I personally like to lead the reader or the listener down a path and then reveal things about the character that they didn't expect because it happens in real life, right? You'll meet somebody and they go, oh my God, I had no idea that that's what they did, or people will surprise you. And so I definitely don't like my stories to be predictable.
We have a lot in common.
Well, really? Life's not predictable,
that's
right?
That's true. That's very true. When getting back to the promotion part, I know that's a big challenge for a lot of indie authors. And it's one of the reasons I started this blog talk radio show is because I wanted to at least expose indie authors even if they're not published yet, because, you know, you have to start networking at some point and develop an audience. And a reader, followership of your readers. And I have various author friends who have, you know, lots, and then there's some that are just starting, some who are wonderful authors but just don't have that ability to market to the masses. So I'm hoping this will give people a platform like you to get the word out there. And I'll be happy to network with you and get you into some groups who do network. Our covers and our books. I have a few groups like that. We do that. And so if that's something you're open to, we'll be happy to, you know, include you in that networking. And even having a group that reviews other authors' works.
That would be terrific, Tricia. We have to, you know, as you're doing and as we do online with our, you know, whether it's Facebook or Instagram, is we have to help each other. It's a great community of writers that are out there in all different genres, and we have to help each other because sometimes the system is set up so that the little independent just has struggles, right? But at the same time, if we band together, you know, there's strength in numbers.
Absolutely, and That is a critical difference between traditionally published, you know, where they have the resources, and then the indie authors. But, you know, there's some really savvy authors that I learn from all the time, and I'm like, wow, that's cool, you know. And the first guest I had on, I think it was like that, and she was right on top of her game. She knew exactly what she was doing and this and that. And I was impressed because even though I've been doing this for a while, I still don't know everything. And I've taken classes for marketing and I've done all these things, but a lot of times the information is outdated. So to apply it in today's publishing world, because gosh knows, I think there's like some crazy number, like 4 million books published each month. I mean, it's,
mm-hmm.
it's astronomical. And what genre would you consider your book?
Well, I've created my own genre. So I call it, it's a sexy book. Like there's some, there's some pretty intense, steamy sex scenes in the book, but it's a mystery thriller. So I call it Thrillerotica.
I like that.
Yeah, I know.
Thrillerotica.
I'm not sure if it's going to catch on or not, but I have been hashtagging Thrillerotica. My fiance is like, you made that up, didn't you? And I said, yeah, I did. I did make that up.
Very good. You think outside of the box. I love that.
The other thing that I did, so I've done two things with this story too, Tricia. I have, through the book, I reference music in the scenes because in my life, you know, my background is broadcasting and I was in the radio industry for years. So music's been a very big part of my life. So I've referenced songs through it and then I've created a soundtrack and I've created a soundtrack on Spotify and on Apple Music called Death, Sex, and the Girl Next Door. So you can listen to the music as you read the book because I think it would enhance the experience. For example, in the first scene, you know, my main character, Alex, is going up into his room so he can spy on his neighbor across the house next door and flips on Kurt Cobain and Nirvana, fills the room, so it kind of sets the scene. But I also created a separate Instagram account for one of the characters in the trilogy, Sotarkos Otolp, who my main character in this book, you know, references checking his social media and various scenes, and he follows this account on IG, and then I have some of those posts, which are a real account. So I kind of made this more like a multimedia experience.
I love that. And I have read books where the author will reveal their playlist, but it's mostly when they're writing the book as opposed to, you know, what you did, and that's really cool. You integrated that into the book, so I like that. My music of choice, and this is what I do when I write, is I blast Nickelback in my ears, and I just love that group. And
I know.
They get such a bad rap because people are jealous. that's what I've come to the
conclusion.
Not to mention, I have a thing for Chad Kroeger, so that's no secret. But
there's a little information you're shedding to your followers. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's kind of where I get in what I call the zone, and that's my creativity, and that's where it flows. And I can just forget about everything for a couple of hours and just write and just relax and, you know, do what I do best, and that's writing. And aside from writing, but you also do poetry. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm.
I love your poetry. I love it.
Thank you. And that's kind of where I first started. Like, you know, when I was I used to write when I was going to I went to the British Columbia Institute of Technology in Burnaby. And while I was there, I was going to school for broadcasting. I used to write lyrics, write songs. And then life comes along and you get into your career and you get married and you have kids. And then, you know, as you get a little bit older, you kind of go back, well, I really miss writing. So I started writing poetry. About 3 years ago, I challenged myself to write and post something every day for 1 year. And it was 2016 when I started. So I did it. I started in April and I went a full year. Every day I wrote something and posted something. And the first couple times, you know, when I hit posts, I hit send, it was scary because I was opening up my heart and sharing some emotional, words that meant a lot to me. And I got really good feedback from friends and from strangers, and I kept writing. And I think that actually gave me a lot of confidence to write and put the books out. But I published last year on Valentine's Day a poetry book called The Gravity of Love, which is a collection of 100 romantic pieces. It was a Valentine's gift for my fiance. So, you know, I was trying to.
Aww, that's
lovely. I probably shouldn't have written a book of poetry and published it for her for our first Valentine's, because I've set the bar so high now that I'm not sure what I'm going to do for a second Valentine's. But when I was writing romantic pieces, and then I was writing dark breakup, heartbreak, you know, kind of like FU pieces. I still have a collection of dark mm-hmm. stuff that I'm going to publish. I'm going to publish as a I call it The Dark Side of Love. And then mm-hmm. I've also got a collection of inspirational poetry that I've been working on. So I've got 200 or 300 other poetry books that I'd like to publish. And it's, yeah, I'm never going to stop writing that. I'll just be driving along and something will come into my head and I'll have to pull over to the side of the road because we're not supposed to text and drive. And I'll write down the piece and then I'll start my drive again. I've done that so many times. My kids will be like, why are we stopping this? I got to write something down.
And I notice your pieces, because I do this too. I do I try to do shorter ones than longer pieces. That's just kind of what I like personally. And I like the fact that you do the shorter pieces, but it has so much impact when you read it. And trust me, a few months,
yeah.
ago, like I would say a year ago, if you told me I was going to be writing poetry, I thought, I'd rather set foot on the moon than write poetry. And I fell in love with it. I've really come to appreciate it, and all the people and the talent and the levels of poetry, haikus and whatever else, Elchin and, you know, all of those amazing, amazing writing.
There are some really amazing writers who are being discovered every day on Instagram or on Facebook. I tend to use Instagram a little more than Facebook. I mean, I duplicate so they post on both, but IG is kind of my go-to. I love it, and from all over the world. Like I have communicated and networked with people from the Philippines and from India and from Germany and obviously the U.S. and just Korea. It's all over the world. It's poetry writing is universal. I think it brings the world together.
I so agree with you, and I've met you included just some wonderful people who are supportive, because I will tell people I don't know what the hell I'm doing when I'm writing poetry. I just write whatever comes, and sometimes it's rhyming,
yeah.
and sometimes when I do rhyming poetry, I'm going, gosh, is this corny? Because I never know how it's going to be taken. And the stuff that I don't think is going to be well received is the best pieces I do. I don't know if that
right.
makes any sense.
Isn't that funny? Isn't it funny how that works? You write something, you go, wow, this is kind of silly, whatever, but I'm going to throw it out there. And it strikes a chord or a nerve with somebody. And it's funny, we try not to judge ourselves on how many likes you get. I'm not sure if they still put likes on in the U.S. In Canada, they don't show likes anymore. You can go into your insights so you can see, but they don't really show it, so you don't really know. But I know
mm-hmm.
I remember writing something, and it was a rhyming piece, and it was only 4 lines. And I wrote it, and it was about 10:30 at night, and I thought, well, I'm just going to share this. And so I shared it, and I woke up, and it had blown up. There was like... It was, I think, like 1,200 people overnight. It's just a couple people see it and they share
wow.
it, and it just goes. And
yeah.
I thought nothing of that piece.
The sad part is I used to put my early poetry stuff in the stories, and I could hit up to 2,200 people. I've gotten that many views or,
mm-hmm.
have seen it. And then now it's like if you get 100, you're lucky because they changed the algorithm.
Oh.
Sadly.
I know. It's like they're always trying to find a way to make us,
Yeah, and it's not that I'm a numbers person at all. I appreciate anyone who says, oh, I love your poetry. I'm like, oh, thank you. It's heartwarming to know that they do when they mention it. But sometimes you never know where you're going to be making a difference. And And sometimes you'll get those messages out of the blue, and they say something about your poetry, your story, or anything, and it just lights up my world. I just those are the times that I really appreciate from people reading my stuff, and I'm sure you've probably had that experience as well.
Oh, you know what? I love, like, where there's a piece that I've written, say, like 2 years ago, and it'll come back up because somebody has found it recently, and they have shared it because it meant something to them, and I'll go, oh, and then, you know, they put it on their Facebook, and then they attach it to someone else's name, and you go, I'm glad that they got something from that they felt something, and they could use what I wrote to send someone else to describe how they were feeling. It's really a cool feeling.
That, yeah, it is. And I am definitely going to get your book. I'm going to read it and give you a review, and I will promote the heck out of it. And I really want to shine a light on all those authors who are looking to get exposure, and especially reviews, because reviews are really rough as it is, as we just talked about earlier. But it's really nice to know that other people, authors, like your books. I mean, I'm terrified, honestly, mm-hmm. when another author reads my book, because I cringe. I'm like, oh, am I up to par? You know, that self-doubt, insecurity shows up and rears its ugly head. I don't know about you, but I get angsty. About
self-doubt and fear, the arch enemy of any writer or any artist really of any kind, right? It's just get up in that mirror and look at the mirror and, I'm good. I'm awesome. And gosh darn it, people like me.
Just like Stuart Smalley, right on from Saturday Night Live. I love that.
Right. And
the scene
with Annette Bening from American Beauty. And if you're familiar with that, it's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, American I saw Beauty. That a long time ago. That was with Kevin Spacey, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. There's a scene where she's getting ready to show the house because she's a realtor and she's trying to psych herself up for showing it. I'll be quite eager to hear what you think of the book, of the story.
Oh, absolutely. Because
it's a very I really enjoyed writing it, and I really wanted to share it with the world, and I'm hopeful that people. It causes them to think a little bit, and they need someone to talk to about it after they've read it, so they'll share the story. I'm working. Oh, by the way, I was going to mention. So the next step for me with this whole self-publishing process, I'm going to learn how to do my own Audible book. That's my next step.
Oh, you know, I'm looking myself to have maybe my series turn into an Audible. I know there's different ways of doing it. There's a percentage that the performer will get, or there's another way to do it. I'm not sure of all the ins and outs. I kind of investigated it. But if you have a broadcasting background, you have the voice for it, I think that's perfect because you're really reciting your own words, and I think that's cool.
I'm looking forward to doing that. I thought about maybe just doing a video, actually, of each chapter and posting them, but I'm definitely going to record the Audible version myself. I'm looking forward to it.
Wow, that's cool. And you can upload audio to, like, Amazon? You could do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've made it. They've, you know, as much as they've screwed with the algorithm so much on some of the social media platforms, Amazon has continued to make some, you know, interesting changes that make it even easier to get your work out there. So, you know, there's a couple of good sites. You can just Google them, and they'll give you step-by-step guidelines on, you know, what equipment you need. You don't need much equipment, really. The investment isn't that big. You know, it's the time to do it. You can download the software to edit for free, and they tell you exactly what parameters you need to upload it to. So time-consuming, and like you said, not everybody, you know, wants to do the audio themselves. I, you know, had some training in it, so I'd, you know, give it a crack myself and see how it goes.
So maybe I'll have you do my books then.
I would love to do your book, and I'm looking forward to reading your romance on ice.
Oh, that one that's gonna be a really cool book. It's On Ice is kind of based on the San Jose Sharks, who's my team, and so I kind of based it on a character, Burns, who's a great player for the San Jose Sharks.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
Defenseman.
And it sounds like you love hockey, and I love hockey. And,
bit of a hockey fan.
One of my favorite, So I had so much fun, and it just that story morphed into this different story that I didn't think about. You know, there's really a good story there, and there's a lot of angst, and that's kind of my thing, how I like to write angsty, twists and turns.
Well, you're going to have to,
my beta.
Trisha, you're going to have to work in some Nickelback into the soundtrack of that book, because Chad Kroeger is a big hockey fan too.
Okay. Oh, really? Oh, good to know.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that. Yes, I knew I loved
you
for a reason. Yes. And I know I remember one time you told me you loved the Killers.
I do.
That.
One of my favorite bands of all time. Yeah. Love the Killers. They're on my soundtrack too.
Oh, are they? Mr. Brightside is like my ultimate favorite of theirs. Anytime that song comes on, I just love listening to the lyrics. It's just such a great song. And I actually did some research on the song, and the lead singer was basically, it actually happened to him. So he was writing what he was, you know, had experienced, which I thought was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Flowers. Yeah, that's a great, I couldn't remember his name. I love that song.
But Chad Kroeger, you got down pat.
Oh, yes. And, I'm goofy. I'm a fangirl. I can't help it. It's just one of those things. And
well, you know,
people go Nickelback?
you know how Nickelback got their name.
No, I don't, actually.
Well, Chad Kroeger worked in, I'm not sure if it was a Tim Hortons, but it was a coffee shop. And people would come in to buy coffee, and I think it was like either 95 cents or it was $1.95. So they'd give him a two, and he'd have to give them a nickel back. So he'd say, here's your nickel back. True story.
That's funny. I love that. I love that. And, you know,
so,
I think, aren't they a Philly? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say one other thing on my soundtrack. I'm very fortunate that I have three wonderful children. But my oldest son is a musician, aspiring musician, and
very cool.
Did a little tour last summer. But he's got a song that he entered into a song contest here on our public broadcaster CBC, and he made it into the top 100 for the country finalists.
Wow!
And so his song Montreal is also on my soundtrack. So you can listen to that as part of the book. His name is Shaden Hawes, and I write him right into, he's a scene in the book. He's playing in a little coffee shop in one of the scenes in my book.
Oh, that's great.
When they make a movie, his song is going to be on the soundtrack.
Hey, that's just planning.
That's right.
Just
thinking ahead
another
for that
platform
big day.
To get to the next level. Yes, you do. And, I have to admit, I followed in your footsteps. I do the dark poetry, but I do dark erotica poetry, and I also do the short poetry, too. So I followed
in your footsteps. You're going to have to start doing some live video of those.
I don't
just
know
reading
if I
them.
Could do that
I,
without...
Just reading them, Trisha.
Without, I can do audio probably and with the picture, but I couldn't do it with a straight face because I would just blush. It's
okay. We'll take audio and picture. Audio and picture, your challenge.
Oh, gosh. Okay, I'll accept that challenge. I can do that. I know how to mix. I know how to mix and sync audio. I'm pretty good at that now. I've self-taught myself how to do that. So, you're
perfect.
On. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yes. Now, tell everyone where they can find your books and find you on social media.
So, I have an author's page on Amazon. All three of my books are live on there. My first book, which is a romantic comedy called In a Relationship. Second book is the poetry book, The Gravity of Love. And the new book, the latest, my release, which came out actually on November 7th, is a thriller erotica, and it is it's a dark romance. There's a lot in it. You know,
it's a dark secret. It's a dark romance. I'm putting together an anthology. I'm doing a dark romance anthology next year. So you have an invite if you want to be included in that.
Love to.
Okay.
So they're all available. All my books are available on Amazon. And I am working on getting an audio version of the new book out. And I'm going to do an audio version of that first book too eventually. But the first book is like a PG-13, you know, like a Hallmark romance. This new book, this is a Netflix dark original, you know, cuddle up with somebody on the couch and then definitely have someone you can talk to about it, because at the end of it, you're going to go, oh, my God, I didn't see that coming. Hope I didn't give away too much.
No, I don't think you did. I think you've piqued everyone's interest with this, because now I'm like, oh, man, and I have already downloaded it, I think, so I've got to read it. I'm really behind in my reading, but definitely going to read it and put a review up for you and include you with our networking group, because, you know, you deserve the best, and we'll try to help you as much as we can and
thanks,
pass,
Trisha.
The word along.
As we were talking before we went on for the show, it's interesting because my book is based in Eugene, Oregon. My characters actually go to Salem for a part of it, for one scene. So that's right around your neighborhood where you're living. So it's kind of interesting that the book is based where you live.
You should check out I Shine, my book, my paranormal book, if you like paranormal romance. That's also based in Oregon, and it's on the coast, Florence, and then Portland. So it's all based in the same area, and it's a pretty good read. I've gotten some very good reviews on it. If you ever care to download it and read it and review it, that would be great.
I wrote it down. I'm going to read it.
Perfect, and I will definitely do yours. So is there anything you want to add before we end the show? It's been such an enjoyable interview.
No, just please, the Kindle version is only 99 cents. I really just want to share the story with people. So if people get a chance to read it, that would be terrific. But also I wanted to, thank you for your support of, you know, not just myself, but all of us independent authors out there trying to find our way in the digital world.
I'm so happy to do that. And why don't you spell your last name so people can find you on Amazon?
Okay. It is R.E. Haas. So my full name is Ross, but it's R.E. Haas, and it is on Amazon. And it's available, you know, when you list on Amazon, it's like 13 different countries. So at .com or .ca or UK or wherever you are. And on Instagram, if you want to follow along, again, it's R.E. Haas. And I would love to be able to network with a few more writers.
Perfect. And I'll check you up. I'll look you up on Amazon. I'll look you up on Facebook, because we haven't connected there yet. So definitely I'll promote you on my book page too. So that would be great. So thank you so much for being with us today. I appreciate it. And next week's guest is going to be Verdette. She's her handle on Instagram is Vine and Vixen. She's a poetess, and she's fabulous. She's just a great, great writer poetess. Yes, she's great. So she'll be joining us, our first poetess on the show. So I'm looking forward to it. Thank you again for being on the show. I'm humbled and honored that you wanted to be part of my show, and congratulations on your book, Death, Sex, and the Girl Next Door. I wish you much success with that.
Thanks, Trisha. And this is the first interview I've done as an author. So at that point where I am sitting on Ellen's show, I will definitely drop your name.
Yeah. Perfect. That sounds great. And thank you again for joining us, everyone. And have a great weekend. You take care. Bye-bye.